Welcome back to the Jojatorium.
Well, remember too, whenever we found the German Scheisser porn.
Let's not lie to each other. You're in twerk classes over there. That's
yeah.
What
yeah.
That's all it is. The fitness class.
Working on them TikTok videos you like so much.
Dead face.
I guess got right in front of you.
Welcome back to the Jojatorium. You know who it is. It's Adam. It's Matt. We're decaying with the boys, and we are definitely going to work on getting a cease and desist on this episode. The Star Wars universe continues to expand with Season 4 of The Mandalorian. Join in on the Star Wars lore as it continues to traverse through. Why are you staring at me?
We're sponsored by Star Wars? We're promoting Star Wars?
Mandalorian. Mandalorian Season 4.
Okay.
What you?
I don't know. I was unaware of this.
You don't? Oh, here. How about this one? Bringing our fantasy favorites to modern times. Once upon a time, reimagine some of history's best stories.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know
what's once upon a time?
It's so it used to be on ABC, and they would like take like.
So we got a broadcasting deal.
Kind of.
Or is this just a passion project of yours?
You're going. I mean, I did. Let me do the real. Okay, here. Right. Let me bring it back to Pittsburgh. The 16th Steel City Big Pour will kick off on Saturday, October 7th, starting at 5 p.m. or 4 p.m. for you VIPers and running until 8 p.m. This fundraising event will take over Rockwell Park for what is being described as the biggest Steel City Pour event yet. With over 70 different kinds of beer to try out, this all-inclusive beer and food sampling festival brings awareness to reusing building materials to bring beautiful structures to life. You can still grab your tickets right now by heading to showclicks.com and search Steel City Big Pour or check out our show notes for the link. But just make sure you tell them that the boys sent you.
It's much better. You had some beige flags there for the beginning.
We're going to talk about it a little bit as we welcome everybody back here to the Jojatorium. It's a beautiful day. And before we get into some stuff here, Adam, I want to give you the reins for a second, and we're going to do round one beers, and then we have to talk about a couple things, okay? So
okay.
It's round one. You made an incredible beer. Put them all together. Call it round one beers. What are we drinking?
So appropriate that one of the opening promo bits was the Steel City Big Pour, because we'll be there at the trash tent Saturday, and round one beers is what we're taking. It is the yet-to-be-named dessert stout, pastry stout, technically, yeah. That we did with 412 Food Rescue. So 412 Food Rescue had a bunch of leftover pastries and baked goods from Trader Joe's and Panera, where the majority of our stuff came from this year, which included chocolate muffins and cinnamon rolls, and some molasses cookies, which are the prominent three pastries you'll find in this stout. We fermented it over some English ale yeast. It got a little hot in fermentation, so it's a little boozy, but yeah, that's what we got, 8%.
Yeah.
So come try it. I think it's going to be booked at the event as Diet Starts Monday, I think is what we're going to call it.
I like that.
Yeah.
That age-old, like, I'll just, you know, Saturday and Sunday, that's for me, but Monday, I'm going to just really work on myself.
Yeah, this is a high-calorie beer. I mean, you can still taste the sweetness.
Yeah, the sweetness definitely comes through, but it has a nice body to it as well. So, I mean, yeah, you can't have a bunch of these. But if you want to, I think you'd pair it pretty well, maybe with like something like a red meat kind of thing. So if you're like eating something.
It could work. Or dessert, just go sugar overload.
Yeah, and just get the beetus.
Yeah.
Straight beetus.
I kind of think it would go good with a carrot cake for some reason.
Yeah?
Like the cinnamon, I think,
yeah,
comes through the most.
The cardamom.
You get some chocolate, but like definitely that cinnamon.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like that sugary sweet, almost like when you get like the pretzel and you get the cinnamon.
Yeah.
Cinnamon sugar. Yeah, it has that kind of flavor profile to it. But yeah, but the good body.
Yeah.
Good body to the stout too.
Yeah, fermentation like got away from me for a little bit, so it got a little hot, which gives it like a little bit of booziness and a little bit of like a fruit ester from the yeast.
Yeah.
Which kind of plays well with that cinnamon, thankfully. But yeah, I kind of goofed. I rushed this one.
Yeah.
But still tastes good. And as it sits, it's mellowing out. So.
Well, even in rushing, yeah. Adam, you still make incredible beer.
Thank you. This is really good. I know you're the stout master, so I wanted to get your opinion on it.
Really enjoy this one. Speaking of beers, I got to traverse through Disney, and
sorry about that.
No, it was fun. I got to go. One of the places I went to was Epcot, and I got to go there for the beer, wine, and food festival.
Ooh.
So I wanted to let you know that even though, listen, Disney has its own beige flags, and you know, off mic, we were talking about a couple of them. Disney adults need to chill the fuck out. First and foremost, relax.
Get a real hobby.
Yeah. But while I was down there, I got to try a couple different kinds of beers, and I want to let you know the ones that really stood out to me from these breweries was Parish Brewing. It was a strawberry mochi Berliner Weiss.
Berliner Weiss.
Berliner Weiss.
I got you,
thank
buddy.
You so much.
Parish Brewing, one of my favorites.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Nice and sweet. They it was good shit. Stuff.
They're out of Louisiana, I believe,
yes.
New Orleans.
And then Three Daughters Brewing had their Old Fashioned Porter, which had just a little touch of booziness to it, which was really good. And plus, I saw Old Fashioned on there, and my old ass was like, oh yeah, I like that shit.
I'm old.
Give me some of that.
Sounds good.
I also had some Tulum, like anybody else would down over in Mexico, and I was eating some tacos. I had some Tulum, which is a great beer. It's just, you know, pretty run-of-the-mill Mexican lager, but it's not bad. It's not good. It's nice in the middle, and it was cheap, too, so which is a nice beer to have walking around.
Nice.
And then I had the, and I wrote this in here, and I can't say the damn name, but it is the Weheston Hefeferner.
I think you got pretty close. Weheston Stefefahner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a fest beer.
It's obviously German.
Yes, very much so. But it was a fest beer from Germany. So I did drink around the world as much as I could.
Nice.
And at the end of the night.
Wait, before you go on.
Sure.
How'd that fest beer stack up to what we had on the podcast last week?
Oh, we crushed.
Yeah.
The fest beers that we had on.
I mean, we had Marzen's technically, but all German.
So. Yeah. But, oh, dude, so good. But that's not to say that this beer didn't deliver. It was fantastic, but I think that it lets me know that the samplings we have from our city and some of the things that we get imported, we have a bevy of riches here in Pittsburgh to choose from. And when I go to other places to try other beers, they're good, but I feel like I'm spoiled here in Pittsburgh. But of course, at the end of the night, because I'm a true American, red-blooded American, I had to go to this one section. It's like the good old glory, because that's what Epcot has to do. It's like USA through and through, bald eagles. And as
you had the rest, now it's time for the best.
And these are names that
xenophobia.
And these are beers that everyone is aware of. And I had a flight, so I could watch some fireworks and have some beers.
So you could still take care of your children.
Yes. I had Rogue Dreamland American Lager, Goose Island Neon Beer Hug, and Left Hand Sawtooth Amber Ale. And the left hand was the best.
Yeah?
Out of all of them.
What style was the Goose Island? I've never heard of that one.
It's like it's a pale ale.
Okay.
I mean, it was good, but not a lot of flavor to it.
Neon Beer Hug sounds like it might be like a sour or something.
That's what I was hoping for, but there are actually huge absence of sours at this thing. Like, there wasn't a lot of that.
Yeah, it looks like maybe just that one Berliner you had.
That was about it, man. And all I had, and that was really like a funk more than anything, but it was good. I recommend going down to Epcot during this time because everyone thinks like it's going to be really expensive. It wasn't that bad. A flight of beers was $10. Most beers were $8 or $9 for a pint, which is pretty comparable.
Better than stadiums?
Absolutely, yeah. But if you wanted to get some of like the higher end stuff, you were paying like $13-$14.
It's like concert prices.
Pretty much, yeah. But it wasn't bad.
Not crazy.
Yeah, so I was able, and I budgeted out for that too. That's one that they give you this stupid pamphlet when you walk in. They're like, here are some tips for you. Make sure you budget and you stick to it. No shit.
I know all this shit. It's like them trying to hand me a beer pamphlet when I'm going into there. I'd be like, shove it.
I know more than you. So, Adam, aside from my time at Epcot, while I was gone, you got to go do something really cool, too. You were at the Cooper's Lake Home Brews and Blues Festivals. How was that?
Yeah, it was great. Freaking great music. Some really cool beer. Met some really cool people. Met a couple breweries that, you know, home brewers that I communicate with over Instagram,
yeah,
but don't see in person much. So it was good to see them since we hadn't been to Cooper's Lake since 2019. So it was good. It was like a little bit of a reunion for some people. A little light this year just because there's so many beer fests. I hope they spread out a little more and we can get more homebrewers up there next year. But a really, compared to 2019, not that there was anything wrong with it then, it was run super smooth this year. Had no problems until the rain hit us Saturday night into Sunday when we were packing up. And I've been cleaning up grass and mud from my brewing equipment. well, just like kegs and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
For like the last week. And I didn't sleep well because tent camping. But
oh, you didn't glamp? You weren't glamping?
No, we were not glamping. We did bring cots instead of an air mattress.
Smart play.
Which was all right, but it was kind of like sleeping on a pull-out couch sofa. Like, you had that bar in your back.
Yeah.
But still better than an air mattress. Oh, and I also just, like, stayed up till 3 a.m. every night bullshitting and...
Drinking,
yeah.
That's good, though. Do you have any beers up there that really stood out to you?
Yeah, there was... Coal Cellar Brewing did a... was it a peach sour or a mango sour? It won the event, but it was killer. I think it was mango sour.
Yeah.
But it was killer. And then good friends of the podcast that recently moved away, Chip Tooth, were there.
Oh, yeah.
And they had some good shit.
Nice. So. It's always good to see them come through, for sure. So, Adam, as I made reference to earlier, I went to Disney. And while I was down there, I did approach some people. And I kind of gave them a pitch, you know, like, hey, this is the Epcot, you know, wine, beer, and food fest. And I am one half of a beer-focused podcast up in Pennsylvania where you guys don't really have a lot of reach. Because, you know, Disney, small corporation, don't really have a lot of
reach.
Yeah, a lot of reach.
Yeah.
So I decided to pitch us to them. And we got picked up. So now we have to do, like what we were trying to do at the very beginning, we have to do the ad reads at the top.
Oh, so that's what that was.
Yeah, but the problem is now that, so I was trying to do them, and maybe I should have warned you before I started doing, but you interrupted me, and now.
Do you have to redo them?
No, I can't, because what they do is I actually put something on my computer, so while we're recording, so we owe them money.
Disney's controlling? Shocking. How much money? Well, this will just, maybe we'll break even for my trip to Germany I took.
About that.
Yeah.
They don't like that you associated directly with Germany.
Oh, but they do. They had German beer at the Epcot.
Right, but they want direct contact with Germany, not us. So we were actually considered a third-party contact.
Well, that I went there before I knew anything about this Disney deal.
Right, but when I signed the contract, they kind of went back in our history from the beginning when we started.
Oh, they're not going to like anything we said.
They have some issues. Yeah, Adam, you have to talk to the mouse.
I mean, I don't want to talk down to now. I think we have a boss now, which is why I don't do this podcast to have a boss. Are we going to have to move to Florida? Because I don't like Florida.
No. Like I said, Disney, small company. We want to reach out further, and they don't have a whole lot.
We're going to be Pennsylvania Disney?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And also, too, all your beers that you have to make now have to have Disney names. So.
The fuck? No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I can be a part of this.
Well, you have to, because when I signed the contract, I put you. I was like, he definitely, like you said before, we need sponsors, we need to make some money, and they put money on the table. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just sign for Adam. And I just put your initials.
I can give it a try.
AB.
You want me to give it a try? I'll try an ad read real quick.
Yeah, go. Yeah.
Disney, Pennsylvania. The best thing to come to Pennsylvania since OxyContin. are they cool with that? Like,
I got to take a call real quick. Hold on. No, he didn't. I'm sorry, Mr. Mouse.
Mr. Mouse.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Yeah. Hey, man. He said you...
Mr. Mouse is about to become public domain, and we're going to use him for all kinds of shit.
So as we have to make sure we're using them throughout. So
I'll use them.
Okay, just want to give the heads up.
Oh, I'll use them.
Okay,
and abuse them. Beige flags all over the place in this episode.
So Adam, we are still allowed to talk about combat sports.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah,
because I'm going to beat the shit out of that mouse.
So from buckle to bell to Bellator and back, the boys bring you the best combat sports news in the biz. Congrats to Eddie Kingston. Not only did Eddie win the ROH heavyweight title to go alongside of his New Japan Pro Wrestling strong title, but he also signed a new 4-year contract with AEW. He went on to say that he handled his shit like a man and kept it quiet. He wanted to ensure that no one heard anything until a deal was done. And I believe that that is the sign of a true locker room leader.
Dude, I totally agree. I think that's very admirable and very adult of a pro wrestler to do it and handle it that way. Especially somebody who's had their troubles in the past with behavior at different promotions. It shows he's really grown. It took him a little longer than some, but there's some that are older and can't behave themselves, Phil. Yeah. So that's cool. And I think he deserves it. And for him to go from being almost too broke to stay in pro wrestling to now being holding two major titles.
Yeah.
And successfully defending them against Shibata.
Yes.
It's great.
Bang.
That's happening in 8 hours from when we're recording.
Yes. And he will too.
And right? But he's going to win.
He is winning. We are in the future. Speaking of bad behavior, Adam, there is some fervor right now about the Diaz brothers, them in conjunction with the UFC Hall of Fame. There's some idea here that the Diaz brothers deserve it, and some of them say that they don't deserve it. But most notably, Michael Bisping was saying that he believes that Nate Diaz deserves it. Nate Diaz has a 15-year career. He's 16-11 in the UFC, and he's 21-13 overall, that he deserves a spot over his brother Nick. Bisping went on to say that Nate, if he's not brought in on his career, he'll most likely get in for, maybe, if not one, but both of his fights with Conor McGregor. If we go back to look at those, we saw a rear naked choke upset win against McGregor the first time, and then he lost by a decision the second time. Do you, Adam, think that one or both the Diaz brothers belong in the UFC Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think they both do. I think Nate, for sure. I don't know if more than his brother, but since it is the UFC Hall of Fame, yeah, probably Nate over Nick. Because Nate did most of his, yeah. most if not all of his major fights in the UFC, mm-hmm. where his brother Nick did a lot outside of that, yeah. like before the UFC was super established.
He held titles in Strikeforce.
Yeah, and everywhere, yeah, like everywhere that wasn't UFC. So I think both of them deserve to go in, and I know they're controversial figures with the UFC, like they just don't get along with management, but that doesn't take away from what they do. Not only that, but like they're very active helping like the youth in California and stuff.
Yeah.
Train. And I mean, it's weird to say, but they are role models to some kids, like, yeah. And they're good. They're probably good people outside of the cameras. Like, so yeah, I think they belong in. I mean, quick question to you, is Tito yeah. Ortiz in the UFC Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they should both be in.
Yeah, Tito Ortiz, if he can stay in there, yeah, I think anyone should be able to get in.
Easy answer is if Tito's in, they should be in.
Yes. Sticking with the UFC here, Adam, we have possibly the end of the road for Tony Ferguson. So Dana White has come under fire for presumably feeding Tony Ferguson to a younger, hungrier fighter in Paddy Pimblett. So critics of this booking believe that White is simply trying to force Ferguson into retirement with what is being viewed as a slam dunk for the Irish Leatherman. Ferguson's coming in at 26-9-0 and has lost his last six, while Pimblett is coming in a six-fight win streak and is being viewed as the next big superstar. However, contradictory as he always is, Chael Sonnen believes quite the opposite by thinking that Ferguson will emerge in a massive upset victory. What say you, Adam?
I might be the Chael Sonnen of this podcast.
You like it?
You just have to be the devil's advocate for everything, right? That's where you said my beige flag is.
Yes, you're a contrarian. I like how you give yourself more of a prominent moniker, but you are...
I am the devil's advocate.
Yes.
And you're not on the level of the devil. But I either way... Whether Tony wins or loses, this is how the fight promotion game works. You feed an older, established veteran to a young and up-and-coming star to either further establish that star, or it's a gatekeeping thing.
Yeah.
So you're either going to further establish Paddy as a real deal, or Tony's going to make his second run at the belt.
Right.
You know, like, it's a win-win. You can't say, oh, you're feeding him. Like, everybody has the end of a career.
Yeah.
He's still getting booked. He's still making money on this fight.
I want to just go ahead and focus on BJ Penn for a minute there, because he was...
Some people should hang it up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he fed himself to young fighters.
Yeah, he was...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was signing up for that.
That's the difference, yeah. I think, here. Tony Ferguson still wants to fight. BJ Penn thought he could fight.
Well, and this could... I mean, depending on... if Tony loses, and two, in what fashion... Maybe he becomes the BJ Penn situation where, like, okay, you're done.
Yeah, you guys.
I don't know.
This.
I haven't seen him fight in a while. He's been out. He did not look. He looked bad in the. Who did he fight? Homer Simpson.
Oh, Gaethje.
Gaethje. Yeah. He looked. I mean, he ended up looking terrible, but he ate those punches.
Yeah.
He fought the whole time. That, I think, could be pointed at to the turning point of his career. Like, he took so much punishment in that fight, and it should have been stopped, but just there wasn't
enough.
He never fell fucking down.
Yeah.
To, like, stop it. So, I think if this is the end of the road, that's where you can say, like, he took so much punishment in that fight, he never came back.
That was your turning
point.
He
was never the same fighter again. But, yeah, I think I agree with Chael. Like, I think he has the same shot as anybody to beat Patty. Yeah. Patty's not beat any big world beaters yet.
No. He's collected a few. I think he has four consecutive wins in UFC, and he had two prior to that before getting signed on. So, like you said, there's not a lot of prominence here in the opponents that he's taken out.
No, but he's a marketing star. He's like he's the next Conor McGregor on
very
the mic.
Smart,
you know
very
I mean?
Sharp tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like if Sugar had better mic skills.
Yeah. Yeah. But
he has good ones, but Patty's just a
another level.
He's a
what I like about him too, he's like, yeah, I get fat. I get real fat, I don't care. I cut the weight, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm just fat.
You don't want to eat burgers? I love burgers. And like, yeah. I mean, if he had a sponsorship by Disney, he'd ruin it too.
Yeah, yeah. Just much like we are definitely
like
going to ruin it. Yeah. So, Adam, we are going to fantasy book two ways because these two wrestlers have been all over the news.
Hell yeah.
We have Jade Cargill, who cashed in and joined WWE. Congrats to her because she made bank on this. And then on the other side, we have Edge, known as his real name, Adam Copeland. He's AEW bound. He may have already appeared by the time you're listening to this. So let's play Fantasy Booker. Adam, I want to ask you, who's Jade's first big feud in WWE?
I think first big feud. So I don't think you should jump her right into the title picture. Depends if Charlotte has the title on her by that time.
Yeah.
But you can't. It's got to be somebody she can beat. They're not going to want to beat Charlotte. I mean, you could sacrifice. I think you should sacrifice somebody like a Bayley, maybe. But you could sacrifice all the way up to Bianca Belair. I don't like that, but it would work. Because I like Bianca so much, so I don't want that
I
to
do
happen.
Too, yeah.
But she's kind of like middling right now, and they don't really have much for her, so I could see that happening. But either way, you got to give her somebody that has a name. You know, she'll probably come in and do some squash matches, but for that first pay-per-view match, that first feud, you got to get somebody established that she can still almost squash.
So here's my pitch to you then.
Yeah.
Asuka.
Oh, no, I don't like that one either. Yeah. That would work.
Because Asuka, to me,
that
is,
would work, but oh, God.
I know, Asuka. It's tough. But
it's going to hurt no matter who she beats.
No matter who, yeah. But I think Asuka, because she plays ball, man, and she's kind of like the Dolph Ziggler of the women's division. RIP to Ziggler, too. He got released by WWE.
Yeah, he didn't pass away.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you Nadav him.
Sorry, my bad. He's still alive. But
he'll probably show up at WrestleDream tonight, too.
He might. But I think because she can do mid-card, she can do title picture, and I think she has no problem putting over new talent because all you really got to do is elevate Jade when she comes on, and then you can let her play out from there.
I'm excited to see what the WWE training does for her because, like, I thought her weakest part was the in-ring in AEW, and even that got better as she went. Mm-hmm. Like, at first, I didn't even want to watch it, and then it got much better. By the time she went into that program with Statlander, she was –
yeah.
Really decent.
So I really enjoyed it. She
obviously takes it seriously and trains her ass off.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously trains her ass off probably her
great.
Whole life. She's
yeah.
fucking phenomenal, and that's why the E probably put eyes on her. But, I think technically she's getting much, much better, and I think with the WWE machine behind her, they could turn her into
the
a star.
E.
I mean, she could be the next China.
Absolutely.
Like, no problem.
No problem whatsoever. Yeah. What about Mr. Copeland? Who would you place him in the ring with first over in AEW?
Who? I mean, there's so many I'd like to see. Has he ever done, I think just how injuries always lined up, has he ever gone against Christian?
Yeah, they've had programs before.
Because you know Adam Copeland, Edge, his father's
dead. Yeah.
So that could work. Okay, but if they already did it, then I would say, I had somebody and it just slipped my mind. Oh, good with yours, and I'll think about it.
So I'm going to go ahead and say
I had another good
that
one.
He's going to tie up. I think he's gonna debut at AEW either WrestleDream tonight as we're recording, or it's gonna be shortly thereafter. And I think he's gonna interfere with the Darby Allin match. I think he's going to go in with Darby Allin.
Ooh, that'd be all right. Yeah. I do remember mine now, because I don't think they ever got to fight in the E. I'd like to see him go with Daniel Bryan.
Oh, Danielson. Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah,
because yeah, I don't think – I think they were like ships in the night and never
– Yeah,
had,
the,
yeah,
the neck
so
injuries.
That would be killer.
They had – Yeah, differing yeah. neck injuries.
Right. So do that now before one of them gets hurt, or you know, Bryan Danielson. I don't.
However,
the
you
dragon.
Want to the dragon.
The
yeah.
dragon's on
the
his way
American
out.
Dragon.
He's in the Tony Ferguson stage of his career. So
well, he also said so much too. He wants to right. go part time, and yeah. what better way to you know like go against premier talent? He doesn't want to be in the title scene anymore. Yeah. He doesn't care about that. So yeah, tangle him up with Copeland.
And it's kind of funny that you brought these two because I'm just gonna call him Edge. Edge is on. The flip side of Jade, like
yeah,
but you also have to use him wise and get what you need out of him.
Get the juice out of the fruit, man.
Either establish yeah. a new star or do some of these classic matches we wanted to see. Don't waste him. Like, please don't put him in there with like Brian Cage and like
yeah,
just
that would suck.
Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah,
like just don't give him storylines that matter.
Right, you know? I agree. Or, dude, my penultimate dream is for Christian and Edge. To finally bring on Gangrel, and they reform the Brood, and they had to call themselves like, "We are the Cauldron Masters." It has to be
the Cauldron Masters. And then they go against the House of Black and just all get annihilated.
Yeah, it'd be sick, bro.
Brody King just ripping fangs out.
Oh my god! Yeah, he's like, "Give me that. That's mine now."
Saw him this week. His hand's definitely broken.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was on Dynamite with Hart.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's
looking great, by the way? Julia Hart's starting to look really good.
Apparently, she's a ratings popper.
Yeah, I can see it. Dude, she got a huge pop last night on Collision.
Good.
Yeah. So, Adam, we are going into going over or jobbing.
My favorite first-round segment.
I'm going to pitch these ideas to you, Adam, and you and I are going to figure out if they are going over or if it's complete bullshit and it's jobbing.
Let's do it.
So, Adam, first and foremost here, CM Punk is going to the Big E, WWE. Going over or jobbing?
Jobbing. They don't need him. They don't want him.
Yeah. I don't think they need him at all. Their creative has been just fine because everyone clamors for him to have like the backstage presence. And the only thing I've ever seen him do is support like three fucking wrestlers in AEW. And all of them have, they're the only ones to be like, he was really cool to me. And then everyone else is saying, he never talked to me.
You can't say everybody should sit under the learning tree when you're calling yourself the learning tree. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't fucking work.
Yeah.
You don't call yourself the leader and become the leader. You don't give yourself a nickname.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't work that way. You got to like prove it through behavior where he's like, I'm telling you, cause I'm over 40. I'm the fucking leader.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to me, you're an empty headed dumb fuck. And like,
and also too, like you've been gone for 7 years prior to this. Right. So like, I'm sorry, but I'm looking to other people who've been leading that locker room in a much better way, and I want to lean on their expertise. For some reason or not, and I don't know why they would do this, but FTR are putting all their support behind them when FTR has done so well in the Indies, the E, and AEW. Why are they saying go to CM Punk?
I think it's because Punk saw in them that they were just like legit wrestlers. Like they are legit, and Punk likes that. And I'm not saying like Punk doesn't seek out good talent and like good talent, but
right.
he's also like got a big head on him about like how experienced he is. I get it, you loved wrestling your whole life, but like you just gotta let it like kind of not like be there for everybody and just like let it naturally yeah. happen.
CM Punk, you can't be like Disney. Disney is a supporting entity. You're not.
You're a good dude, but it's like a lot cooler to be an anarchist in your 20s than when you're mid 40s. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're not rocking the establishment anymore. You need to become to change the establishment at this point in his career, he needs to become a part of it and change
right.
it from the inside.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You can't just be, "Wow, oh, yeah. Bang. Mom, I got another tattoo." You know? Like it just doesn't hit the same.
Speaking of hitting the same, we have two Goliaths going at each other here pretty soon with Ngannou going against Tyson Fury, and critics of this fight are saying this fight will go the distance. Adam, will this fight go the distance?
Jobbing. No chance.
No way.
There's too much power there.
Like, yeah.
There's too much power there.
Who do you think
if Fury takes it too easy, Ngannou's going to knock him the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ngannou's going to be experienced enough to last the whole time with Fury. Fury's going to win.
I think Fury is going to win.
Fury would have to majorly underestimate him to lose.
And I don't think he's doing that.
Right.
I think once Ngannou brought Mike Tyson on, not to screw up our Tysons, but you brought Mike Tyson on. I think that allowed Fury to understand how diligently Ngannou is taking his training.
Yep.
Last but not least here, Adam, Becky Lynch's NXT title reign will get that division over, because NXT women division has kind of been in a middling era right now. So do you think that title reign from the man will elevate that division?
Yeah, I mean, it's got elevated a little bit. I don't know if it's going to get to the extent it was with the Four Horsewomen and things like that, just because they don't have that many names. But they have to do something. They had to shoot it in the arm somehow, and I think this is a good shot in the arm for it.
I think it is, too. And plus, it gives you an opportunity for some of that younger talent. Kind of like how we were talking about before, you want your younger talent to get elevated. And I think Becky Lynch has the ability to do that because she has great in-ring work, and she's good on the microphone. I like how she's changed. Well, she called it NBEXT. So she's like, she's already like, I'm taking over. I was always better than you guys. I have your title. You come get the strap. And I think with that, you're going to see like maybe the love of my life, Gigi Dolin, will actually come out and do something.
Oh, yeah. Battle of the redheads.
I would love it. Absolutely. And also too, like, you've already seen some banger matches.
Yeah.
Because Becky has also shown herself to be very durable. She went through an Extreme Rules match during No Mercy where she retained the NXT title. But it still elevated her opponent. I mean, she did a great job selling a lot of offense from what we can consider to be one of the most green NXT women's champions of all time. So I think it's going over. I think she's going to elevate NXT with a title.
Right? And she said this week herself that she wants to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she shot basically on WWE and said, we need to use some of these women and boost them. Like,
yeah.
Properly. Like, right. Even people on the main roster, like Candice LeRae and people like that, but also the girls in NXT, the women in NXT. Like, everybody needs to get boosted up to make that roster what it was. It
right.
was so good even 2 years ago. So,
yeah,
let's get it up there. Let's do it.
I would love to see the NXT women's division go back to, like, what you said, the Four Horsewomen. I thought that was one
those
of
those were some of the best women's matches
yeah.
in the history of wrestling.
Hands down. And I think it actually kind of led to when we saw that Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks...
Yeah,
at WrestleMania when they headlined, I mean, they were riding the wave of how well WWE right. was booking their women's division.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So speaking of booking, Adam, we are going to go and book ourselves a little break right here.
Sponsors.
Yeah, we do have one now. Oh. Disney.
Fuck. Well, support Cult Worthy and Casting Views and all of our other podcasting friends.
Yeah.
Sugarcoated Murder. All these ones.
Absolutely.
I'm now learning and enjoying.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we are going to hear from some of our friends, and if you support our friends, you support us, and you support us, we get to do some pretty cool things, so we'll see you on the other side.
Hey, Ann Barner. Hey, Karen Devaney. We need a promo, you know, like where we talk about what we do on our podcast.
On our Sugar-Coated Murder podcast? Like how we love to bake and talk about murder?
That's what we need to talk about.
There you go.
I think we've talked about it. Y'all find us on all your favorite listening apps.
Stay sweet.
And don't murder.
Because if you kill people...
we will talk about you.
Welcome back. Hopefully you heard something you like from our friends, because when you support our friends, you support us. When you support us, we get you some pretty cool stuff. Adam, we lost our fucking sponsorship. You said OxyContin in the first half, and I told you...
I said Disney would bring as much joy to Pennsylvania...
as OxyContin.
It's a prescription drug.
It's a prescription drug that has killed thousands.
Well, that's sad. That's because they abused the system.
Yes. But also because the opioid epidemic is on...
destroyed Appalachia.
They did.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
So because Disney doesn't like you to bring awareness to things, they said...
Oh yeah, sorry for bringing the real world into your fantasy castle, you fucking mouse.
Well, he's not happy.
Neither was I. Now I'm happy. Good. Didn't need his money.
Okay. did you spit on it?
I spit on you,
mouse.
R.I.P. Iron Sheik.
Yes. The real Disney leader, the
Hulk
Iron
Hogan.
Sheik.
The real Disney leader.
So, Adam.
The Iranian madman.
We are on the other side of this podcast. We are in round two. You procured some delicious beers from another state. Put that all together. We call it round two beers. What are we drinking?
Yeah, I went all the way across the border 20 whole minutes to Youngstown, Ohio. And I got a beer from one of my favorite breweries in Youngstown. It is from Noble Creature. And there's a crack. And as you can tell by the can art, Matt and everybody else who looks at our Instagram. They really love, like, they're in an old church and they turned it very black metal. And they specialize in wild ales and lagers. And this is one of their lagers, their Italian Pilsner called Briere Pils. And it's just an awesome place. And I was there for an awesome reason this week. We got to, we got our dog Bandit from Youngstown. So it was his 1 year anniversary of being rescued. And the rescue that found him also just found another dog that was shot.
Yeah.
That they're saving. So they were having a bad week, and we were going out there to pick up the Bandit t-shirts that they made anyway. And they were like, do you mind bringing him along just to, like, boost the spirits of everybody? And I got to meet everybody that got him from where he was at to when we got him. And awesome. It was very nice, including the guy that found him abandoned in the shed, bloody. Goodness. I got to shake that man's hand. I think I shook his hand like 6 times.
Yeah.
So it was a really cool trip. And we capped it off by taking Bandit to Noble Creature, because every time we go out there, we stop by and see what they got.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am a huge, this is definitely in my top two.
Yeah.
Ohio, them and Magic City. My favorites. So yeah, give it a try. I love their lagers. They're so sick.
While you were waxing prophetic over there, and I love the origin story.
Sorry for the long story, but it was a really cool week.
Bandits is a beautiful dog, man. Yeah. And I love having him around. The beer is incredible. It's an Italian Pilsner. It's nice and dry. It has a lot of play with the hot profile. I mean, I like it, man. And I just burped a little bit, and even the burp tastes amazing. Yeah. So this beer, I know most people will think of Italian Pilsners and they'll think of, was it Peroni or whatever the hell?
Right. It's not what an Italian Pils is anymore.
Yeah.
So an Italian Pils is basically just a German Pilsner. That's hoppier, and the hops should be traditionally all European hops that make it bitter.
Right.
So it's just almost like a pale lager,
mm-hmm.
You know, but it's a European pale lager.
And it's crispy too. So like, I've made this declaration before, I'm a clear beer guy, even though I love my goof ass stouts. But I do love a good clear beer, especially ones that come off very crisp. And this one has
super crisp.
If you like a good Italian Pils and you want to break away from the commercial stuff, this is Noblestein. You can find them on all social media, Noblestein Brewing Company, on Facebook, Instagram, X. And then I think they're on Threads, too.
Did you just call them Noblestein?
I did.
Noble Creature.
Noble Creature.
Noblestein's PA.
My bad. I apologize. But Adam, before we go into anything else, can you shout out the rescue of where you got Bandit from?
All About the Paws was the rescue that saved him, and the Mahoning County Dog Pound was the people that initially saved him, like found him and got him to the vet. Sorry, the vet's name. It's the vet in Mahoning also had him for a month and like nursed him back to health.
Right.
So all of those great people in. I don't talk highly about Ohio often, but those are some good people there in Mahoning County and Youngstown. So
yeah, and it's incredible they were able to nurse Bandit and then this other dog back to health.
Yeah, and check. I mean, especially if anybody's in, in search for a bully breed, they are. There's speculative, of course. There's got to be like a dog fighting ring out there, because like they're getting pit bull breeds and similar fighting dog breeds abandoned all the time out there.
Yeah.
And we got Bandit. He was definitely probably trying to be raised as a fighting dog, and he's the gentlest dog.
Yeah.
He had kids like hanging on him at Cooper's Lake last week, and he was just loving it. So like, always look to adopt, you know.
Absolutely.
It's always a good option. You can, and meeting the people behind the scenes, there's some really fucking just genuine people, you know.
And you can support those two entities by searching them out on all social media. I know they do take donations, and they...
All About the Paws has a huge Facebook
group
that they post multiple times a day. So,
So if you're out there looking for your next furry best friend, check them out. I mean, it could be your next best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only, it's like an hour and 20 minutes outside of the city of Pittsburgh. Yeah. Not too bad. Go out there. Visit some dogs and go to Noble Creature.
Yeah, go to Noble Creature. Get some of this Italian Pils, baby. So, Adam, we are moving into our second round here, and I want to propose to you, because it is spooky season.
Love me some spooky season.
I decided to dive into the scariest pro wrestlers of all time, because we know pro wrestling can have some goof-ass, silly goose times, but sometimes creative likes to take a walk on the scary side. Bleacher Report put together their top horror-based wrestlers. So let's you and I rip them apart and see what makes them tick. And maybe make some suggestions of our own if they're in there for good measure, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to start off at number 10 here, the original entity, the original entry of Doink the Clown. So when he used to come out to the crowds in the late 80s and early 90s, his music would actually start with a very ominous, high-pitched laugh. And when he would come out to the crowds, he would do like a Gigi Allen, like pick one person and stare at him kind of situation. Doink the Clown, the original guy, was one of the most terrifying wrestlers of all time because he played almost like a serial killer-esque persona when he would come out in the face paint, which is terrifying. And we've seen, after so many often times we see a wrestler get reimagined, as they kept recasting Doink, he got more and more into like the sideshow circus kind of thing.
Cartoon bullshit.
Yeah. But that
I like that you sugarcoat everything.
I try my best. I'm trying to get Disney to come back. So yeah, for number 10 there, that's Doink the Clown.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember like when he first was on, it was terrifying. Like the music would change and he would like grimace and like I swear to God, it was always the same makeup, no matter how cartoony bullshit they were making him. But when he frowned in that makeup, it was terrifying. Yeah. And I think it played really well. It was, I would imagine it was right around the time that the original It miniseries was on. So it was like playing into the fear of clowns thing. Yeah. And then it got like goofy ass. And then he went to ECW and was terrifying there.
Yes.
Too. So, yeah, I think that's a good horror themed wrestling gimmick.
Well, when you go to ECW,
you know, when you do it right.
Yeah, when you do it right. But when you go to ECW too, you got to take on New Jack, so you better be scary as fuck because New Jack's gonna kill you.
He's gonna hit you with a shopping cart.
Mass transit. So coming at number 9 here, we let me get some offense, bro. Oh yeah, you'll get some offense. So coming at number 9 here, we have Papa Shango. So this is one of the times that WWF. At the time, WWE now, they got a little too racist for my likings. Even as a kid, I was like, I don't know if this is okay. Because they took a guy from the Bronx and they put him in like...
I didn't even think about the racism implications.
Yeah, they put him in...
You're right.
Yeah, Haitian makeup, and they made him a
voodoo priest. Voodoo medicine man, maybe.
Something like that. But the thing that was scary about him is that he was able to strike fear into everybody. His music would hit, the lights would go out. He was one of the original guys that really made the whole entire stadium go dark when he would come out, and then he would just get in people's faces.
But like they never built it. He never got to the level I thought he should have been at. I thought it was such a cool look, such a dark character, and it just never went anywhere, and it pissed me off.
Yeah. And then he became the Godfather.
Well, then he became Kama the Fighting Machine, yeah. And then he became the God. Well, no, then he was in Nation of Domination. He had so many things.
Yeah.
But yeah, ended up as the Godfather.
He had a really storied career, even though starting off as Papa Shango.
I even liked him as Kama, but like Papa Shango was like...
He was cool as Kama. I thought he did a great job of, because every faction has to have like that mid-carder that's a little stronger. Yeah. But, you know, job out when you have to.
Dude, Kama melted down the Undertaker's urn into a gold necklace. That's what you going to do about that? Oh, no! Oh! But no, I think Papa Shango was... Because he was also, like, very tattooed for the early 90s and, like, the cool skull face paint. And I was just like, yeah. I wasn't even into metal yet, but I was like, that's metal as fuck.
One of the coolest faces he'd make, too, is he had the full face paint on and he would do, like, the full circle with his mouth.
Yeah.
And he could go, oh!
Yeah.
Dude, that right there.
Dude, it was iconic. But it should have been as iconic as like fucking Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Like,
you had an opportunity.
And
here.
Like, I don't know, some of the greatest heels in the business. Like, you could have Ric Flaired him. Like,
no, absolutely.
Even with that like face paint gimmick. I mean, Sting. Like, yeah. He should have been as big as Sting.
Right.
You know, like, and it just, oh, there's just no.
The focus wasn't on him.
Right.
That was the problem.
Right.
The focus was on like the Hulk Hogan, the Undertaker.
Yeah, it was just. It was just not the right time.
There were too many superstars in play at the time.
Born too late, Clarks.
But you, but you got to see Disney. We're about the family. So when he reinvented himself though, the multiple times to fit with the eras that he was in, I thought he did a really good job. So even though he started off very scary, he worked his way into like a comedy act, a serious act, you know, did a really good job here reinventing his character. So, you know, good job for him.
I agree.
Yeah. Coming in at number 8 here, we have Abdullah the Butcher. One of the scariest guys on the planet because he came out already with scars on his forehead.
Yeah.
This guy was known to blade quick, fast, and better than John Moxley.
And often, yeah.
Yeah. And then he would also blade you. Yep. So he would come out, even in the indies, he would come out, and the first thing he would do was start headbutting, open himself up, and then he would reach over, bite you, open you up, and then use his fingers to rip open your skull.
He was the big mother forker.
Oh, yeah.
He would fork people.
He'd get forehead salads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree. A giant, terrifying man until he opened his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
He has the highest pitch voice.
It's very Tyson. Ever.
It is very Mouse. Yeah. Very, well, I can say his name now. He's not sponsoring us anymore. It's very Mickey Mouse. it's crazy, though. Yeah, it's Mike Tyson, Mickey Mouse, high-pitched voice, like, yeah. Oh, there's a reason you didn't do interviews. He was the madman from the Sudan, so like he didn't really talk. He always had a manager, which added to the horror of it. Like he doesn't speak. He's
mysterious.
He can't read. He's from the wild. He's a savage. He's gonna fucking rip you apart. And like it was all about the mystique around him. And then he started doing fucking interviews. It's like, oh, this guy's this guy's a carny fucker.
So another guy here that needs
also not from the Sudan, Canadian.
Yeah.
Yokozuna, not Japanese.
Samoan?
Samoan. He is Samoan. Not Canadian.
Coming in number 7 here.
Could you imagine if Yokozuna was Canadian?
I'm going to hit the balls I drop, eh? Number 7 here. Jake the Snake Roberts. There's not much more you can say other than the dude brought a fucking snake to the ring and would never tell talent in the back if he got it defanged or devenomized, if that's even a word. He scared Macho Man so bad that, you gotta tell me, man, if that thing's real. You go first, brother. You go first.
Yeah, that's actually exactly the same storyline I was going to point to, is when he had the snake bite Macho Man while he was tied up in the ropes.
So good.
And that is the famous lore behind it, is behind the scenes. Macho was like, I'm not doing that spot unless the snake bites you first. I want to know it's devenomized. And crazy, but traumatizing as a kid. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, they don't do shit like that at all anymore.
No.
Well, they killed that one guy on NXT. Like, kayfabe killed him.
Yeah.
They, like, broke his skull or whatever.
It's a smart play. That's how you get rid of people.
They shabotted him. But yeah, man. And even aside from the snake, cut just scathing promos, didn't need to shout. It was just the words he was saying them and the tempo he was saying them fucking put chills down your spine.
Yeah.
This man, he had the best vocabulary for that late 80s, early 90s time period. Unreal.
Yeah, I love Jake Snake Roberts.
One of the best heels
absolutely.
In the history.
Yeah, he's top 3 for sure. Only struck down by his documented substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
He could have probably continued on, kind of like Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Ric Flair,
both gentlemen somehow still alive.
Yeah, still alive, still working.
They are just made of titanium.
They really are.
Ric Flair, Ric Flair, most recently known for not wanting to make fun of time.
How about number 6 here, Adam? One that struck a chord in me, Mr. Waylon Mercy. This is based off of the serial killer boom of the 80s and the 90s. Where they took this guy and they made him the Southern gentleman with a bulletproof smile and what we come to find out to be a heart made out of ice. His promos alone would come across as, I'm nobody more than a simple man who's trying to make a simple living. And then he'd get out there and be the most brutal, sharp-smiled assassin, serial killer through and through, very Henry-esque, terrifying. I saw that he was number 6 on this list. I thought he should have been much higher.
Well, and I think he's only that low because it was a short run.
Yeah.
You know? Based on the serial killers of the time, based on Robert De Niro's character in Cape Fear.
Yeah.
He was unreal. Like, another guy, great on the mic. But cut too short, not quite like Papa Shango. Like, Papa Shango was kind of held down just by, like, bad booking.
Yeah.
Where Waylon Mercy, I think, would have gotten pushed way higher, but he just had so many, I forget who he wrestled as in WCW.
Oh, God.
But he was, like, just a legit regular wrestler.
Right.
But he had so many miles on that body. Like, his body gave out on him before that character could really fucking
go up.
Jet. And that's a shame. I'm going to Google it because I know he's a very good wrestler. So back in his early days.
So while you're Googling that, I'm going to go on the next guy here because he needs a little bit of exposition. So this is Kevin Sullivan. The name sounds very pedestrian, but Kevin Sullivan was one of the first guys.
Oh, I didn't even realize that's who it was. It's Dan Spivey.
Oh!
Who was part of the Skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looked terrible in WCW.
And one more thing about Waylon Mercy. Yeah. Also the inspiration for Bray Wyatt's, like, NXT character.
Oh, cool.
When he was the cult leader.
Yeah, yeah.
Also dressed kind of in that Cape Fear garb. Yeah. The Hawaiian shirt, the white pants, terrifying,
I like it.
Terrifying soft-spokenness, you know.
I'm glad to see
Dan Spivey. I can't believe I didn't know that.
Well,
he still alive?
Adam, there's a ton of lore that we have to pick through every time we go on this show. Much like Disney tries to bring you the lore of The Mandalorian Season 4. If you really want to see the Star Wars
Thought...
What?
They cut us.
I'm trying to win them back.
I like beer. I like to abuse it.
Well,
I like to drink way too much.
Yeah.
And go on rants.
Yeah. And that's
and
how
I don't think Disney likes that.
No,
I'm
like
keep saying. And I love The Punisher.
And they're gonna screw it.
But not but not for political reasons. I just liked him as a comic book character.
So speaking of comic book characters, like I was saying before, Kevin Sullivan, one of the original vampire-esque horror-influenced wrestlers of lore.
Hell yeah.
His big run was in ECW where he would cut promos where he would actually spit blood at the camera, which caught a lot of attention, especially with the crew in the background who was getting pissed off that every time that Kevin would cut a promo, they would get covered in fake blood every time. He would go out there, and he was another guy. He would gouge. He would bite. He would tackle. He would go after anybody. He'd go into the crowd after fans. He loved Bring Your Own Weapon Night.
5 foot two, eyes of blue.
Absolutely. And this guy,
he was the Chucky of professional wrestling.
And he was vicious.
He was the short king.
He was the short king we all needed.
Demon king.
They say he was the direct influence for Gangrel.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
So, like, even like in the going way back to the territory days when he was in Florida Championship Wrestling, I believe it was called.
Yeah.
The crowd legit, this is when kayfabe ruled all, the crowd thought he was a legit Satanist.
Yeah.
And, like, satanic, and he had, like, a cult. And
the Westboro Baptist Church used to protest at his, I'm not even joking. They would go.
Oh, I didn't know they were around that long ago.
They would protest.
Well, I knew they were around. I didn't know they were that
his
vocal.
ECW days.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, just an evil dude. Like, great, great gimmicks out of him. That totally tracks. He should be on the list.
Yeah. So moving on to number four here, we have Bruiser Brody. Known for his antics in the ring and behind the scenes, Bruiser Brody was known as one of the most vicious individuals to ever lace up the boots. He would fight young talent in the back to have them take what we call here in the wrestling world receipts for nothing, by the way. Because a receipt is usually something you get for something that you did, but Bruiser Brody would say, because you're here, you're going to take this fucking receipt.
Your existence pisses me off. Much like Disney.
We lost them. Much like Disney. Yeah, we lost them. It's over.
If you say Mandalorian one more time.
I won't. Because you get this look in your eye. Mm-hmm. Very Doink the Clownish.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to grimace. My entrance music is about to change.
So, yeah, Bruiser Brody, there's really nothing more that you have to say about him is that he was just a vicious person. He was known to be as safe as he could be in the ring, but he would also, at times, if he felt that he wasn't going over, he would take it out on the talent he was in the ring with, which made him kind of unpredictable at times, which would scare other wrestlers, and it would also scare fans in attendance.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows about how much of that bled into real life and, like, caused his demise. He's famously the wrestler that was murdered in Puerto Rico. Allegedly murdered? No, he was definitely murdered.
Oh, he was, yeah. No,
just the alleged is who did it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he was legit through and through. and, yeah. and a terrifying and imposing figure. So.
Absolutely. He was not a small man.
Here you go, Disney. Round 2.5 beers.
So speaking of imposing men, we come to a modern era superstar at number 3, the Big Red Machine, Kane.
By God, it's Kane. He's got a family, goddammit.
So Kane debuted as the Undertaker's brother who was trying to avenge the loss of their family, which we saw storylines play out where a pallbearer ended up being Kane's father, and so on and so forth. And oh no, what are we going to do with the first Inferno match?
Burnt your brother.
The essence of Kane was incredible because he used the stark red lights when you come out, and he had the same mystical powers as the Undertaker, but he used fire, of course, because he was burnt by fire. The scariest thing about Kane is when he took his mask off and he realized that he actually wasn't burnt. He looked like an idiot.
Which kind of plays into my point, because like initially when I saw him at number 3, I was like, nah, that's too high. And then, but you got to think about it. Like, you got to think about before they bastardized the character.
Yeah.
When he initially debuted and for those first 2 years or so.
Amazing.
Fucking, yeah, terrifying.
Yeah, it was like, gold.
Must watch television. Yeah, and then it got goofy. Yeah. Goofy. And, silly goose times. Absolutely. Corporate Kane.
Corporate Kane. And then, like, I think his.
Whose hair grows like that?
I think his feuds with The Undertaker and Mankind are staples in the Attitude Era. Especially because the brutal violence that accompanied those assaults that you would see on a weekly basis on Monday Night Raw, and then the multiple main events that he had over the pay-per-view era as well. So we're going to go to number 2 here, a man that would scare the crap out of anybody just because of the pure size of him. Andre the Giant. He was made to be almost like the Incredible Hulk, kind of riding the wave of that titular Marvel character. They Vince McMahon set out to find a person who could match up with the stature of what people were tuning into on a weekly basis on cable television, and he found it in Andre the Giant, most known to be one of the biggest drinkers on the planet. The dude's hands were bigger than a can of Miller Lite, and he most notably scared Val Venus into not drinking for I think a year after he picked up Andre the Giant, I believe, at the airport and tried to drive him to the arena where Andre said, beer. And he made Val Venus stop and get 2 cases of whatever, American Light, let's say. And then from there, Val thought he was going to have some roadies with Andre the Giant, where Andre went on to drink all the beers by himself and then walk unstaggeredly into the hotel.
Just ready to roll.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got a report that what Andre the Giant was drinking was actually Abjuration Brewing. So, yeah.
Oh, it was Abjuration?
Yeah, he was a big fan of Abjuration.
Big fan of Abjuration. Yeah, I understand why. I mean,
because they put their stuff in 16-ounce cans, so yeah, it didn't look
bigger.
It looked normal in his hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Abjuration.
Shout out to Abjuration.
But yeah, I mean, you can't. There's never, and there probably never will be a more imposing figure than Andre the Giant, because he was the first super prominent national giant. You know, you tried with Kali. They're trying now with Amos. Like, it just doesn't hit the same.
Right.
He was just a legit giant person.
Yeah.
And the character was great. A lot like Abdullah the Butcher. Like, didn't speak much, always had a manager, you know, especially when he went national. Yeah, but just unreal. Like, He can't beat it. He's the complete antonym of Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of the phenom, the undeniable one, coming at number 1, of course, you knew this was coming. It's the dead man, the Undertaker. He is ringing the bells from the moment he debuted to when he had the replacement Undertaker, to the staple Hell in the Cell match with Mankind, to corporate Undertaker.
Biker
Undertaker. Keep on rolling. I mean, you have so
There's nothing more terrifying than Limp Bizkit.
And they performed live, too.
He also had Kid Rock for a while.
Yeah, he did.
I'm the American fat ass.
Yeah. It was his scariest run was as the ministry leader, because he had
got dark.
Yeah, real dark. They hung a guy.
He crucified Stephanie and Austin.
Yeah. And then, of course, in that whole thing, they had to fuck it all up, and they had to make Vince McMahon the leader of the true leader of the cult. Ministry. It was me, Austin, the whole time.
The supreme power.
Yeah, there were times where the Undertaker, of course, like the lights go out, the bell tolls, the purple mist just fills the arena, and you just see him. Do things a big man shouldn't do.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to roll over the top of the rope and land feet first, no problem. Tightrope walk. I mean, you just saw him do the unimaginable. And then his feuds were great. Great on the microphone. Great in the ring. Had no problem putting talent over.
I mean, who didn't he feud? Like, he feuded with
He didn't care. He took everybody on.
Shawn, Austin, Hulk. Mankind. Hulk Hogan early on in his career, yeah.
Yokozuna,
all the way up to like Randy Orton and AJ Styles, like shit.
Yeah, and then finally lost his WrestleMania streak to Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
My name is Paul Heyman.
Where's he on this list? I actually disagree with him being number one. Where the fuck's Gangrel?
So that leads me into asking you, Adam, do you have any not replacements, but anybody you want to mention here that should have been in the top 10?
I mean, yeah, Gangrel, seriously, and the Brood as a stable, they were pretty terrifying.
I think so too.
Like the dark vampire shit.
Twilight.
And you're missing Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
But he's a newer, like, this is an older list. I don't think there's anybody in this era. Like, this is a lot of 90s and before 80s. So maybe that's just too recent. It's a pretty solid list. I'm trying to think of one.
I got one for you. The guy who only appears once every so many years, the Boogeyman.
Oh God.
Yeah. He's kind of cartoony.
He was cornball.
But the cool thing about him is that when he would pop up and
he was like a Disney monster.
Yes. Very much so. Very over the top. They just really over animated him, which is, yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, it's. It's like hyperbole of a monster, of a demon. But the cool thing about him is that he got to be, when he first appeared, he was very serious. And then as he progressed on, he kind of became like R-Truth. Like, great performer, but fucking clown shoes.
Just clown shoes.
Yeah. I think
hey, Boogeyman, don't wear anything out there tonight except your clown shoes.
Yeah, that's what you are. Yep. But I like seeing him pop up, and he was in do you see his appearance in that SmackDown video game that he was in for a second? Like, he had to go like all the way in the back of the the clock would ching ching ching.
We got round three beers.
What's on tap and where can you find us?
Yeah, there's fucking nothing on tap. I'm sorry, folks. Yeah. Stay tuned. Come November, there will be stuff on tap. But you can find us at Steel City Big Pour on October 7th. And then Homebrew and Chill. And what's the one at the end? Brewing for a Cause at the end of the month, I believe the 28th.
Yes.
So find us at those three. Look them up. All the tickets are on sale now. Get them. And again, like we said at the top, this is the final big pour. So
yeah,
let's all get out there and enjoy it one last time.
Have a good time and support a good cause. If you want to know what's going on with Adam down here in the Brew Lab, it's bash_brew on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X. If you want to know what's going on with the boys down here at Joe Jatorian, we are at DecayandWTV on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, now known as X, Threads, YouTube, TikTok, all the stuff. Check out our Redbubble, buy some t-shirts, and don't forget about our YouTube. We are still sitting somewhere around 50-some subscribers, and it does help us out whenever you subscribe.
Let's get it up.
Let's get that going, because Disney just dropped us.
There ain't no video yet, but if we get our subscribers up there, we'll be.
We're trying our best. So until next time, down here in the Dojatorium, we're talking about the spooky and ookiest of the pro wrestlers and drinking some Italian pills. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers. Hung out with infamous friend of the podcast last night. We were out till 2, and then he had got some munchies. So we go down to Get-Go, and he accidentally ordered 16 hot dogs with almost everything on them and one grilled chicken sandwich.
It's like when you order the Wendy's, you get a Diet Coke.
So I was like, I don't know what to ask you, man. What's with the 16 hot dogs, or what's with the one grilled chicken sandwich? Like, were you trying to be good and then just went off the deep end? And literally, these hot dogs had everything on them except sauerkraut and ketchup. It was like they were loaded 16, 2 a.m. And thank God they had two people making food. But anyway, so we get back here. He eats one hot dog in my car on the way here.
Yeah.
And then two here and passes out. And out of guilt, I ate one to like help him out.
Let me help you with these hot dogs.
And it was pretty good.
Well, it had everything on it. You ate a salad.
So at one point, though, I go to the bathroom and leave him out here because I think he's passed out. And
yeah.
Just like waiting for his Uber. He took it upon himself to hide hot dogs around my house. So I woke up this morning and in every room I walk into, there's a thankfully sealed hot dog from Get-Go. I'm like, you motherfucker. There was one in my car, too. I found it this morning. So, yeah, I've been playing Glizzy Easter Egg Hunt all day. Fuck.